Deegan Aiken is ready. Here's his pitch. And he swings and drives one to left. High and deep. And this ball is long gone. A walk-off home run. Tyler O'Neill. And the Red Sox have won it. Their first walk-off home run of the year. The final 5-3 Red Sox. O'Neill hits number 30. A high, towering drive deep into the night. And the Red Sox walk it off.
We took advantage of one mistake and Teo put a good swing on it. So, we obviously needed this one, and then hopefully it's the beginning of something big.
What do we think? Beginning of something big? Now's the time. Now's the time to strike.
No time like the present.
Yeah, let's go.
For the Red Sox, the irony is,
yeah,
as fun as last night was, and as great as last night was.
It was great.
I was mostly locked in on the VMAs personally.
Oh, yeah. Eminem kicked off the show. I did watch that.
Eminem kicked off the show?
Yep.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
Tremendous performance last night.
Right.
You know, the backstory on her and Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
From what I understand, and I'm very old, but there's a bit of a love triangle there.
Correct. Yeah.
Ever at the same time?
I don't know. A bit of a throuple?
Yeah, maybe.
But last night, she made out with an alien last night.
I like that.
Like
a
Madonna,
lot.
Britney
I
style.
I like that quite a bit.
Made out with an alien all last right. night.
I like that.
Alf was on the show?
Yeah. Exactly. That did it for me. And so, Sabrina Carpenter, great performance.
Do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
Yeah, well, I think
sold.
I think now we know.
Yeah, no, but I saw Eminem. Megan Thee Stallion was the host.
Yep.
Looked great.
Strong performance.
And then what else did I see?
You see my man Benson Boone?
No,
flipping around the stage?
Is. I don't know what that is.
Benson Boone.
Oh, Benson Boone.
Boone.
I saw Taylor Swift win an award. Doesn't win many.
Yep. No,
she was.
No,
she's. Her and Post Malone were there.
Yeah, just forever. Like Susan Lucci. She was waiting forever to win.
Never wins.
Yeah.
Apparently, she thanked Kelsey though at the end.
Yep.
I didn't see like the other award she won.
Yeah, good for
she
her.
Won one early.
Yeah, good for her.
Those lovebirds.
So I was a little locked in on the VMAs last night.
Gotcha.
Fun little win for the Red Sox. O'Neill walks it off.
30 taters.
30 home runs.
30 taters for Tyler O'Neill.
The irony is they don't make up any ground. None.
No.
When it comes to the wild card. So they're still four games back. Detroit's red hot. They're still fighting them off. Uh-huh. Never mind Seattle. They still got to catch Minnesota and Kansas City, etc. But they take 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. Fun little win last night.
It was.
Is O'Neill a guy they should keep around? The morning show asked Breslow about this morning.
And he said TBD?
Yeah, basically. Okay. You know, he doesn't answer anything.
No.
But I would say he's a guy I'd like back on the Red Sox. I'd rather have them break the bank on a bigger ticket free agent. But if they're going to do their dumpster diving thing they've done the last few years, could you keep a guy who works? And I think was a nice find, actually, by Breslow. I wouldn't mind if they paid him and kept him around.
Yeah, they've had a weird group of guys that have come in and then gone. And so you have Hunter Renfroe, who I thought was pretty good, and then he was gone. He had 30 home runs, I think.
Yeah, probably
close to it.
Duvall last year.
Duvall's another guy.
Duvall was nice.
And if he didn't get hurt, who knows how many home runs he would have had. Justin Turner was a guy that was like, he's like one-off right-handed bats, mostly outfielders, and then they're gone. And so on the one hand, and I know some of it was Heim Bloom, some of it's Craig Breslow, they've been able to replace those guys, but at the same time, yeah, I think I would want Tyler O'Neill bat. They need a right-handed bat. And, you know, you look at Devers and Casas and Duran, like those guys are locked in for the lineup next year.
And I think if you're hoping for all these prospects to come up, Anthony Meyer, by the way, Roman Anthony now the number one prospect in baseball.
Congrats.
According to Baseball
way
America.
Way to go, sir.
But they're all left-handed. So, like, you don't
you're
have that.
Loaded.
My only point is you don't have that in the pipeline if you want a right-handed hitter.
And I guess, you know, and then, like, Yoshida, I think he's under contract for one more year, right?
I think at least.
Yeah, so that's another left-handed guy who can't play the field. Because if you're going to have Duran and, like, is Rafaela moving to the outfield? And then are you going to have Duran out there
Don't you like him better in the outfield?
Yeah. But
I do.
Mean, assuming, like, is Marcelo Mayer a good defensive shortstop and can he even do it? Or are you going to try Story again?
Right.
But, yeah, well, Story's a right-handed bat, but I'm not counting on him at all.
But Rafaela gives you flexibility.
If you bring back Tyler O'Neill and Rafaela's in the outfield and Duran's in the outfield and Willy Abreu's in the outfield. And
now it's a bit of a logjam.
And Roman Anthony's in the outfield. Like, yeah, I guess you're kind of like,
yeah, so is it creating a logjam by keeping him around? I see what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like 30 home runs is not a guy that doesn't sound like a platoon player. Like you want that guy out there, but yeah, they need to figure that out.
Only 60 RBIs though.
Isn't that nuts?
I think I saw Red Sox that tweet out. Like, he's the only guy that has that kind of ratio since 0-1 Barry Bonds.
No, well, get some guys on base in front of him. It's like Adam Dunn. RBI. Adam Dunn used to hit 40 homers and have like 90 RBI. Like
and 200 strikeouts. RBI. 200 strikeouts. He'd exactly. walk every time and just smack the big donkey.
Yeah.
Hit a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he has 59 RBI, I think, and 30 home runs. Yeah, he's driven himself in more than anybody else.
But is that his fault?
Combined. No, I don't blame him
No,
for that.
Me either. It's like, get on base in front of him.
Yeah.
That's the lineup's fault. That's team roster construction. No, fault. That's not his fault.
It is statistical anomaly.
It is an oddity. You're right. But,
my favorite
but it's not
stat
his fault.
All time, yeah? I think. Let me double check what this was. Do you remember Chris Davis? Not Crush Davis, but
Chris with a K.
Chris with a K, yeah, Davis.
Did he hit like the same exact amount of home runs like 4 years in a row or something like that? Is that what it was?
No, he hit 247 for four straight years.
Oh, it was the batting average, not the home runs. I'm sorry.
247, we had 48 home runs.
Yep. He had 48 bombs 1 year. No, he went 27 home runs, 42, 43, 48, and then he fell off a cliff. But all four of those years, he hit 247. He played a full season and had the exact same batting average.
Yeah, you could lock that in fantasy. You draft him, you go
247.
247, that's what I'm getting.
I know I'm going to hit me at 247.
I'm getting some bombs, but yeah. I'm getting 247.
No, but their lineup is very left-handed, and it's one of the reasons they've sucked at Fenway Park. They need to be
more
dominant
righties.
At Fenway.
Yeah.
And I know one of the first things brought up about their Fenway Park record is the fielding and how bad their fielding and the unearned runs. But Alex Cora was asked about that a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, what about the home runs? Like, the home run difference, I guess, between the road team versus them at home has been pretty staggering. They're five games under 500 at home. So if you played 500 baseball at home, they're in the playoffs.
You'd certainly be right.
You're right there. You're
right there pressuring the Tigers. I'm sorry, pressuring the Royals and the Twins. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because that's five, whatever your record would be, because we're four games out right now. What are they down to? 14, 15 games
yeah,
left
think,
in the regular
I think it's
season?
16, yeah.
16 games left in the regular season. So they have a four gamer with the Yankees starting tonight.
You got the Twins coming up, which is a massive
series.
And
then a big Twin series. And that's the only reason why I think it is worth mentioning and like they are still alive is I don't have a great deal of faith in the Minnesota Twins, and so they're not playing great baseball. If you sweep that series, like the opportunity is in front of you. If you sweep that series, like who knows?
Okay, so you just said it.
That's it.
They have to sweep it.
Correct.
Because four games, you're like, oh, four games, that's doable. There's only 16 games left, and
if you take two out of three, you gain a game.
Right, and you're not just battling the Twins. Like, I think this is important to keep bringing up. You have the Tigers, who you're behind by a game. Never mind Minnesota, who you're four games back with. You're even with Seattle. So that's a lot to chip away in 16 games. You have to sweep Minnesota. You have to.
Yep.
And if you do, then you might be doing something big,
and
in
probably,
the words of Alex Cora.
What?
Maybe then, but don't talk to me about it until then. I'm happy they took two out of three from Baltimore.
Yep.
I'm still annoyed they only took two out of three from the White Sox. They should have swept that series.
They've lost 114 times.
That's a team you should sweep, especially in the middle of September when they have nothing to play for and you have everything to play for.
Do you
know
how many games out the White Sox are behind Cleveland in the Central?
30.
51 and a half. They're 51 and a half games out.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. The playoff percent chance. Now, this is from whatever metric.
Who was 51 for the pet? Was Mayo 51?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are Gerard Mayo 51 games out of first
51
place.
And a half.
Yeah.
In the hook.
Yeah.
51 and a half.
You can't do anything about that hook.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost a Ted Johnson.
Yeah, 52. But what are they on the head-to-head?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, throw that out. The playoff percent chance of making the playoffs based on whatever ESPN stat thing they're using?
Negative.
No, for, well,
oh, for
yeah,
the Red Sox.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
no, for the Red Sox, what do you think it is? What's your guess?
I know for a long
time. Seven!
No, yeah, higher,
no,
close.
Is it?
It's real close.
I was going to guess like 20.
6.4.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is the problem with allowing Detroit back in it, because Detroit gets 11%, and then Minnesota is actually at 87%, which I think is a little strong for Minnesota.
I mean, I'm surprised it's that low. I honestly, and I think it's long odds, but I still would have thought it would have been like 20%, something like that.
Well,
18, 19, 20%.
Yeah. Well, I think if Detroit was out of it, it would have been, because you just would have given Detroit's number probably to Boston.
And that series against Minnesota means everything. That's true. You double their number
up.
So are they on the verge of doing something big? No. I don't think so.
I'm not taking the cheese on it, but I'm not going to completely write them off either, because it's New York, Tampa, then Minnesota. So you have seven games before that series with Minnesota. So you probably need to go like 5-2 over that stretch. I know it depends on what, you know, Detroit and Minnesota do, but if you go 5-2, you probably put yourself in a chance to then have that series mean everything.
And again, Detroit's hot. Detroit played well against the
hot
Red Sox.
A pistol.
Four in a row, 7 out of 10. Detroit's hot. 617-779-7937. They on the verge of doing something big? You believe in the Red Sox? You completely writing it off, or are you just singularly looking at that Twins series? And beyond that, I am curious about Tyler O'Neill. Do you want him back? Do you not? Where would he fit? Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking you up until 2 o'clock, WEEI Afternoons with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. Take over at that point. I believe they're talking to Tom E. Curran today at 3:30. Curran talked about Kraft and his Hall of Fame candidacy. He doesn't care, apparently.
He does. Kraft doesn't care.
Well, Curran might care.
Curran might, but Kraft does not.
He doesn't bother him.
He's like, well, look, caring so much about it hasn't helped. Maybe if I'll let people know I don't care, maybe I'll get in now. Maybe like, hey, guys, I don't even want to be in. They're going, all right, get him in.
That's what I pretend to do with fantasy football every Sunday.
I don't even
look at my score. Yeah. I'm not even going to look at it. I don't care.
All the alerts.
Glance.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That is a loophole to have the alerts for touchdowns. I'm like, I'm not looking at my score. Where are my touchdowns? Where is it?
Yeah. I haven't got an alert in 2 hours.
Oh, the worst feeling. Uh-huh. And so, I'm a little bit like Robert Kraft in that way. He absolutely cares.
Yeah,
we know he cares. How do we know? Number one, he's just a human being. Anybody would care about that. And number two, he's had a pressure campaign for 10 years to get in.
It is weird, though. Like, if you're an owner of a team, I guess it's a mentality that I can't wrap my head around. It means you're a billionaire. Like, it's just a different world altogether. But you're not a player. You're not a coach. So did you want to be in the Hall of Fame because, like, you think you should be in the Hall of Fame? Or do you want to be in the Hall of Fame because you're looking around and you're like, well, Jerry Jones is in the Hall of Fame? Like, it's more that,
I think,
right?
It's both, but I think what's really driving him is the second thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, you're looking around and you're like, of the last 25 years, who's been a better owner and how come four of those guys or whatever it is are in and I'm not?
Right. Ralph Wilson?
The guy that got the team taken away because of the extortion case in San Francisco? DeBartolo?
Eddie DeBartolo. Five Super Bowls.
Five Super Bowls in extortion?
Out of here. Six Super Bowls and a massage scandal.
It's not as bad. It's more Super Bowls and six Super Bowls less
and
a scandal.
Six Super Bowls and three cheating scandals if you want to count.
Two.
Spygate 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah,
that in Cincinnati.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. I don't count that.
You don't count it.
They did lose a pick.
You don't count it.
I don't think Bill was the mastermind behind that one.
So what?
I don't count it.
It'll happen on.
Oh, Kraft
watch. Robert's watch.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that sticks to Robert.
The damage is done, my friend.
What an ass that guy was. The damage is done, my friends. Like, all right, pal. It's not that serious.
That was Unk after his Instagram. So
I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
Oh my god! Yeah, that voice, terrible.
Come on, guys.
So no, but I think that's what drives him, and specifically the Jerry Jones thing. And so I asked this earlier today. Why did it come out now? Like, what's the purpose behind that coming out now? And I have theories on it. Because I thought you said something interesting earlier today.
I said a lot of things interesting.
So many interesting things.
Yeah, but most of it's been interesting.
But specifically this.
Yeah.
This getting out in a roundabout backwards way might actually help Robert Kraft get into the Hall of Fame.
Just puts attention on it.
I don't think the Patriots leaked it, but maybe. Maybe they're like, what the hell? We've been trying to do this in secret for 10 years. Let's let it out and make it clear that it's like a corrupt, weird system and Robert Kraft isn't in the Hall of Fame. So let's put it out there. I don't think that's a bad Keefspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, it might, just because it's got people talking about it again. I think most people, certainly outside of New England, didn't know if he was in or wasn't and don't really care if he gets in or doesn't. Like, it's not something that's like...
Right, if you went to Omaha and you said, hey, is Robert Kraft in the Hall of Fame, yes or no? Probably most people would go, yeah, he's the owner of the Patriots, he's probably in.
First of all, they'd say no, because he's not a player. And then they're like, oh, actually, there's several people who aren't players and they're like, oh, really? Then, yeah, he's probably in. Like, no, he's not. And the only reason I knew that, like, Jerry Jones was in was because of how it's specifically related to Robert Kraft and how it has been a story off and on for us for the last several years. Like, most fans don't really care. But so, yeah, it splashes on the front page of ESPN. People are reading it, and they're like, wait, why isn't he in? And then you're like, because of Spygate, the Flategate, and the massage thing? You're like, he has six Super Bowls and helped the league prevent a lockout.
That's not why, though. It's because he wants it so bad. And he's so in your. He's sending everybody books about it and six-page dossiers about.
Well, But like, for the most part, if
the
you didn't know whether he's
fan.
In or out, you didn't know that he was like campaigning for it,
right?
But you knew about the Spygate. You knew about Deflategate. You knew when he was on the cover of TMZ because of the thing in Florida. Like, you knew about that. But then you're also like, who's more successful? Like, who's won more games? Like, wouldn't it just be that guy?
Yeah. And so I just wonder if Bill's behind it in some way, shape, or form, because I asked the question. He's been trying to do this for 10 years. This started in 2012. They started the pressure campaign to get him in. So a decade plus. I say 10 years.
And his resume has only gotten better, and yet he seems like he's further away.
Right. So what changed in the last 12 years? Bill's no longer coaching. Bill's got plenty of jobs, but he's no longer, quote unquote, in the league. So I'm not saying Bill talked to Don Van Natta, because you said this earlier.
Yeah, I don't think he likes him.
I don't know that he's got the greatest relationship with him and Wickersham and ESPN.
No.
You know, Wickerscam.
Although he is doing stuff with ESPN now.
Fair. So maybe we shouldn't dismiss that. But like, okay, fine. Maybe I'm not saying it's Bill specifically, but Bill's people, Lombardi, Patricia, Bears, like, I don't know, Bears has got other stuff going on at BC, but like, people on Bill's behalf are letting some of this out of the bag to make Kraft look bad, and it would make sense. You knew after the dynasty Bill was going to punch back. You knew Bill was going to settle some scores. You just didn't know when. And maybe this is that's the only extra thing that occurred to me about the Kraft story that we didn't get to yesterday.
I think Belichick was hoping to pounce on the Patriots after week one, but unfortunately it backfired on him. They looked pretty good.
Yeah, so he's like, sick him, Van Natta. Patriots won. Talk about how crappy of an owner, not crappy of an owner, but just how Robert Kraft behind the scenes is obsessed with this, and it's kind of pathetic. Talk about that.
Well, part of it could just be as simple as
that's good too, actually. The Patriots won.
Yeah.
That's why it comes out after week one.
He's
Son
of a gun. They won. Look at this.
Yeah, I didn't think I needed to pull this out, so here we go.
Part of it could also just be as simple as Van Natta has been working on it for a while, wanted to get it also out before October, which is when the small committee meets, and then he might get in, right? Yeah. And then that's like, oh, poof, like all this work this guy was doing, all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually he's got a great job, he's got a great shot this year, and he's going to get in, and then it really is time sensitive. So I think maybe he just wanted to put it out in September, a few weeks before those guys talk.
Yeah, I mean, deadlines spur action, so maybe it's that as well. 617-779-7937, you can jump in on this. Keith, you had some good numbers earlier today.
A lot of good numbers.
Whether or not there's so many good numbers.
Yep.
On whether
the
or not
best numbers.
Yeah, okay, on whether or not there's an emerging trend in the NFL about defensive coaches becoming head coaches, and whether or not, I don't know, defensive coaches are kind of back, because for a while it was McVay, Shanahan, McDaniel, and I think it still is, but you look at these two coaches this weekend, Jerod Mayo and Mike McDonald, both defensive guys.
Especially because
you look at D'Amico Ryans a year ago, like maybe the defensive coach is back to a degree.
And not to go into the debate and not to go into politics too much, Jones, but very often when it's a Republican for 4 or 8 years, then it's a Democrat for 4 or 8 years, then it's a Republican
back
for 4 or 8 years. So you would think in the NFL, a lot of times, offensive coach not working, let's go defensive coach. Oh, defensive coach, let's go offense. But New England and Seattle, when they double down on defense.
D to D.
They were like, okay. So they went, and like old school Super Bowl winning guys, you would have thought moving on from the two oldest coaches in the league that were both defensive coordinators by trade, that they would have gone offense, but they didn't. And Seattle goes outside the organization and goes with McDonald, who was with the Ravens, young guy, 37 years old, first time head coach. Patriots obviously going with Jerod Mayo, but when I was crunching these numbers, I was actually shocked how close it was to 50-50. Earlier, you mentioned just throw John Harbaugh into the defensive pile. He's the one special teams coordinator. That was his previous job.
Defensive special teams. That's how it's labeled.
So, yeah, okay.
That's
so labeled DST.
Fantasy football, DST.
Yeah, DST.
So put him on the defensive side,
14 defensive coaches, head coaches, to 18 offensive.
Yeah, I would have guessed like 10. So
if it was up to me, it would be 32 offensive guys. Like, I would just go with an offensive guy in today's NFL, especially most of these teams at one point were trying to develop their first-round pick quarterback, and that's the safest way to do it. If you have a good one, right? Like, if you have a good offensive coach, like Cliff Kingsbury, they tried it. He's probably better suited just to be a coordinator than he is a head coach, but that was a shot they took out in Arizona. I still think 90% of the really good teams do have offensive coaches, or head coaches, I mean.
Yeah, when we did the top-tier teams, they all have them. Shanahan and the Niners.
Andy Reid, Chiefs.
Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
Lions. I mean, Campbell's
Lions
kind of
Campbell.
A tweener, but he was a tight end, so
offensive
tight end
guy,
coach.
For sure.
Offensive guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at the top teams. I was just going through, like, I know they look bad week one, but Bengals, Cowboys, Lions, Packers, Chiefs, Chargers could have an uptick this year with Harbaugh, Rams, Dolphins, Eagles, Niners. Those are some of the best teams in the league. All have offensive head coaches. The best defensive head coaches, or best teams with a defensive head coach, are probably Bills. That it might end the list. It's like a lot of the bad teams.
Yeah, there's no.
I mean, Jets are sort of a question mark. We'll see what the Jets end up being, but Bills and Jets are kind of the outlier.
Okay,
and then a lot of first year guys who could be good. But
D'Amico
we'll see.
Ryan's and the Texans.
I
put them on the list.
100%. They're a good team.
And so let's see about Arizona. Didn't start good with Raheem Morris. Let's see about him.
Atlanta.
What did I say?
You said Arizona.
I'm sorry.
Have Gannon. They also have a defensive guy.
Atlanta is what I meant to say.
But
I'm sorry,
Atlanta.
Not Arizona. And
it's
so
possible.
I I just wonder if the defensive coach is making a bit of a comeback, and I just have started to like, and maybe it's obvious, they won a game. So maybe I'm hearing things in a different light. I'm sure we all are. But it feels like the defensive guy resonates more with the players. The offensive guy is going to resonate with the quarterback and hopefully elevate the quarterback, but to the whole locker room. And it's not like the Patriots haven't had a defensive guy for two decades, but I don't think Bill resonated with the players ever. He was always viewed as their boss, not their friend.
But also like a mastermind, a genius. He got a lot of credit, I think, early for like, oh, he was with Lawrence Taylor, and then it sort of parlayed into like all those early Patriot teams.
And I just think a lot of these offensive guys, and I wanted them too. I wanted an offensive guy here. And I still think if you want to go for the home run higher, the ceiling higher, the offensive quarterback guru guy is still the guy. But those are kind of the equivalent of the analytics nerd in baseball or the analytics nerd in the NBA. These offensive guys who are buried in their analytics and their play sheets, they're a little disconnected from, you know, the vibes and the emotion and all that stuff that I think Mayo early on has
but
brought to the team.
A lot of young guys, though, too, you know, and so, like, to your point, like, Mike McDaniel was not an NFL player, a college player. It was not an NFL player, and he is one of those, like, play-calling, offensive genius guys that you might think doesn't relate to the whole team. But he kind of does. Like, he has the personality that does. Zach Taylor doesn't strike me as that.
No.
He's another guy, though, like, offensive guy, offensive-based guy. But you see him, it doesn't seem like he has the same kind of appeal that, like, McDaniel or Sean McVay. Like, they just seem like the energetic kind of guy that still can talk to both sides of the ball, but obviously has an area of expertise. Like, that part's a little bit different. Like, Dan Campbell's a weird one because Dan Campbell almost has that
defensive persona. He has the
rah-rah
defensive thing going on. And so, look, I wonder if that raises the floor a little bit, which is what we're talking about with this team. None of us expect them to win a Super Bowl. So how do you go from being a 4-win team to, like, a 7 or 8-win team and be competitive? A defensive guy may help you do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to see that play out on Sunday with these two defensive-minded head coaches. Let's go to David in the car. What's up, David?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
So on this whole thing with Bob Kraft, here's a question that I have before I state my point. Is Belichick in the Hall of Fame yet? He's not, right?
He's not eligible.
No, he could be next year, but he's not in yet.
He's not eligible yet.
He could be. So let me ask this question, because I don't believe owners have any place in a Hall of Fame. I think it's for players. And why should an owner be in a Hall of Fame when the coach who got him there is not there yet? Why should Bob Kraft
go? Well, he's not eligible.
He should not.
Yeah, one's eligible.
Well,
one's
overall, I agree with you that Kraft or owners in general shouldn't be in, but they are. So if you're put owners in, you can put him in. And Belichick will be in as soon as he's eligible. Tom Brady will be in as soon as he's eligible. So it's not like one over the other. Like, I think ultimately they'll all be in, right? I think Kraft does get in.
All three are going to get in. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
Even with this latest story from Van Natta, I think all three are going to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think Bill definitely gets in first ballot?
Bill? Yeah.
Okay. 100%. Like, but right away after 1 year.
Well, if that's what they're doing, well, it depends. Like, it's kind of an odd thing. I guess it'll depend on the timing and if he's coaching again and if they want to be
if he's coaching again, I don't think, is he eligible? I think you have to be retired for a year, right?
But like,
or out of football for a year, however it was phrased.
Oh, yeah. So next year at this time.
If he's not coaching, you think he walks right into camp?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah. He's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, arguably. But he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not arguing that. I just wonder because it's such a new, I wonder if that process works against him. Like, hey, he only had to wait a year. We're going to put him right in. I wonder if they go, well, let's take a couple of years and see. Or there were already players who were, as we found out in this Robert Kraft story, there is a line and there is an order and there is a pecking order is the word I'm looking for.
But isn't he going to be on a list with just the coaches? Like, it's not like, hey, do you think Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer or Bill Belichick? You're like, do you think Bill Belichick's a Hall of Famer or like Tony Dungy?
Well, it's
like,
fair point.
Bill Belichick's in.
Who's he competing against?
That's what I think.
Fair. So, yeah, he probably gets
in. I don't think
first.
Anybody's going to stand in his way.
Do you think they hold Spygate or Deflategate or anything like that against him?
No.
Me neither.
Not those guys. They don't care about it in football. Like, baseball, they're like, oh, steroid guys, oh, my God, I can't. Football guys, there's been plenty of guys pop for different stuff. They get in if they need to get in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that'll hold those guys off. It'll be, I mean, Will it be mentioned in their story? Probably. I mean, Tom Brady was suspended, but he's not the only player ever suspended that's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I don't think – those guys are so good that they don't care about those.
Text line, 37937. Jones is demonic.
True. I agree.
Demonic to start and spread false rumors that he made up about Belichick. So pathetic. I'm not spreading a rumor.
No, you were just taking a stab.
I just said I wonder if Bill's behind – like, where has this story been for 12 years?
Yeah.
That he's been desperately – trying to get into the Hall of Fame. Where has it been and what changed? The one thing that changed is Bill's not working for Robert anymore, and now all of a sudden the story's out. So that's just the theory. I'm not telling you that's what happened. I wonder. But I am demonic.
That I agree with.
I don't disagree.
On this case, who knows? Who's to say?
We asked earlier about Seattle, the game plan this weekend, which if they're going to unlock the passing game to a degree, you know, go from 120 yards to like 150.
Oh, boy.
160.
Look out.
Could I sell you 180?
No.
Okay.
Wouldn't buy a 180.
Who's the receiver they got to get more involved?
Probably Pop Douglas. I think early on, Pop Douglas. Long term, I'm going to change my answer to Polk, and I'm going to really hope that Polk kind of unlocks at some point this year.
You hope Polk pops.
I want Polk to pop, and we'll call him Pop, Pop, Pop.
Pop, Polk.
Pop, Polk.
And Pop Douglas.
Yep. Well, they got Kendrick Bourne and Kendrick Osborne.
Yeah.
They got two different Kendricks.
Maybe he could crackle, and then you could have like a snap, crackle, and a pop.
Oh, okay.
You need the snap, though.
I think it should be.
KJ could be snap.
Oh, Tyquan Thornton with those wrists?
Yeah.
He's snap. For sure him.
Yeah, he's snap. Snap, ooh, crackle, and pop. Nice.
The Rice Krispies receivers.
Wow.
The Rice Krispies.
I like that.
Not bad.
We're on to something.
One of the worst receiving groups in the league. The Rice Krispies.
Yeah, but give yourself a nickname.
Yeah, you automatically jump up like five spots.
Oh, at least.
It's minimum five spots.
Yeah, which receiving group do you want? Oh, the Rice Krispie guys? Yeah.
Or the
like
scrubs
them.
From the Chargers. Like, I'll take the Rice Krispies.
Give me the Krispies.
Fine.
Yeah.
I think Pop Douglas has to be the guy. You can hand the ball to him if you want on some of those end arounds. Just throw it to him quick, like little screens, all that stuff. So even if Alex Van Pelt is hesitant to put the ball in Jacoby Brissett's hands to throw it deep down the field, Pop Douglas, I don't think he's going to be one of those deep down the field guys anyway. So if he's more of that short pass kind of, 5 yards and like let him make a guy miss and go from there and just get the ball in his hands a bunch of times, like it probably should and needs to be Pop Douglas.
So here's the point. They were both open more than you would realize. Nick sent these numbers earlier. I'm still not 100% sure what they mean, but they're separate. The separation,
yeah, read them anyway.
Separation win rates.
Gotcha.
For Jalen Polk and Pop Douglas. How often they were open.
How much separation did you get?
Polk, 33% of the time. Open.
Not bad.
Separating.
Okay.
DeMario Douglas, 22% of the time. Those were the two most on the Pats. I would lean Polk. I don't see any reason to bring him along slowly. He played more than 50% of the snaps last week.
Hardly noticed, but
however many KJ Osborne got, get him the hell off the field.
Don't need to see it.
Give the rest of the reps to these two.
Nice.
Let the Krispies snap, crackle, and pop all over the field.
I like that.
And I hope that Polk is the guy more involved this week. I'd be fine if it was Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
But a best case scenario and a guy who's separating and a guy who's open and a guy that Jacoby Brissett, in the words of Gerard Mayo, pop on the film, guys are open, he's gonna see him. That, to me, is the guy.
Do you think, would you be okay with a little bit more passing to the running backs? Like, because Antonio Gibson, it felt like in the preseason, that was going to be a bigger part of the plan.
Was
he didn't run it very well.
What was the deal with Gibson yesterday? Was he a non-participant or a limited participant?
I think he was limited. I think only City So didn't practice.
So I would say, yeah, more running back involvement there. I'd like to see Gibson a little more involved, period, but it's hard when Stevenson was playing as well as he did last week.
I mean, last week, they... Ramondre had 3 catches for 6 yards, and Antonio Gibson didn't have any. He had 7 carries and no catches.
Was he targeted? He was targeted, right?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think you had nary a target.
Okay.
Yeah, KJ Osborne got the most targets, which is also part of their problem.
Nice move.
So get rid of that. Don't target KJ Osborne anymore. Austin Hooper was second in targets. Like, so Osborne and Hooper, like, get out of here. That doesn't need to. If you're going to be any tight end, it should be Hunter Henry. And then after that, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk. And then I would throw it to the running backs, at least just to give the defense, like, a different look. It still touches, so maybe you don't want to do it with Ramondre too much. Because we were talking about how he had 25 carries. Well, he also had 3 catches. So that's 28 times, you know, he's getting hit. You do that over the course of a season, like, that's pretty brutal.
It's a lot.
But I feel like Gibson, if healthy, should be a guy that you could throw to him 4 or 5 times a game and see if something's cooking.
So how do you get that going? And again, the number that we both settled on, and it's not a high bar at all, I think it's exceptionally reasonable. You want to beat the Seahawks this weekend? 17 points.
That's it.
That's it.
17-13, you can win that game.
One more than last week. That's it.
That's all you need, and you're 2-0.
All you need. Staring you
in the face.
Get in the end zone a second time. You don't even need as many field goals out of Joey Sly.
Can they score 2 touchdowns? The offense.
Do they need to?
Joey Sly's a weapon.
I think they're going to need that second touchdown this week.
First of two touchdowns wins on Sunday?
First of two touchdowns gets all the marbles on Sunday. I feel that way. Right. So all your thoughts here on the Patriots and the Seahawks on Sunday. We will have more with Andy Hart and Christian Arcan at WEI Afternoons. I'm sure they'll get into this game. Plus, we have the grab bag next.
It's time for grab bag. It's time.
It certainly is. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Andy Hart in the house as well as we rip through some of the stories we didn't have a chance to get to earlier on in the program, including...
And here comes the Grab Bag. Grab, grab, bag, 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 grab, grab, bag.
Kyle Van Noy was upset with the medical staff in Kansas City in the Ravens-Chiefs game. Apparently he got an eye injury, got poked in the eye. And it took a while for the medical staff to come check him out, and he said it was both unacceptable and unprofessional.
How's he? Kind of whiny?
Yeah,
he feels real whiny. Yeah.
I never loved him. He always rubbed me the wrong way. He was just kind of a weird dude. And in this case, it was like an ophthalmologist. Is that the one?
Ophthalmologist.
Whichever one, it was his eye socket.
Yeah, eyeballs. Yeah.
They wanted to check his eyeballs.
Yeah, eye doctor.
Like,
they're not on the ready, are they?
Like a football game? Thinking.
No.
It's not like a regular.
They call him down from a sweep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he might have been drinking. He's like, I got to freaking sober up a little before I go down there and look in his eyes.
Let me see. Yeah,
this seemed like a bit much. It didn't seem over the top.
Yeah. Also, what's the,
Is there everything in the building? Like, is there one, like, luxury suite that has every kind of specialist?
That's a good question.
Waiting?
Is there a proctologist?
Is there a doctor on the plane?
Yeah.
I sat on the football, doc. Get down here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not.
No, because I would have thought something like that is they have a general doctor. He looks at you like it's nothing emergency, but you probably should see the specialist tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be my guess, too.
But he wants him down there within seconds to check him out and get him back in the game.
It's a bit whiny.
It's unreal. Whiny. I believe this was from his podcast. He has a YouTube channel called Vibin' with Van Noyes.
No, I'm good.
You're not vibing with Van
The wife, too?
I didn't hear the S initially, because if the Van Noyes are there,
Well, all these videos appear to just have him in it, so I think he's using that to get people to click on it. Nice. And be like, oh, never mind.
Nice.
Unk was interested.
The Unk was interested. Did you happen to see the Unk video?
Well,
the Unk video?
I heard it. Yeah. I kind of lost interest when I clicked on it, and it was just...
Oh, see, I was the opposite.
And then I looked at...
Really?
Yeah, John. You're driven by audio?
I say, I didn't realize that, but apparently,
SMR sex or ASMR sex? Yes, what the hell it is? Yes. Most people like to hear chewing. He likes to hear screwing.
I think it's an untapped market. There's not a lot of these videos out there, as far as I know.
Unk tapped into
it's like
real hard.
Is it? Excuse me?
Yeah. Real strong. Strong.
Yeah. Strong.
Tapped hard.
Yeah, he did. But, Shannon Sharp. Now, none of us think he should lose his job. That was
sort
of tossed out there.
I actually don't even really think you need an apology.
No, you don't. No, you just got to move on.
No, but that never happened. I think if you're going to apologize, he had about the best apology imaginable. I don't think you can apologize better than that.
No, he thought he was just doing what he does.
Unk get it in.
Yeah.
For real, we heard.
Unk get it in.
And he should be. I should be pretty proud. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but when I saw the timeline, I was like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Especially at the pace at which he seemed to be.
No joke. Do you think he did it on purpose though?
No. She did it on purpose.
Somebody did. Because you can't go Instagram. You can't throw your phone on the ground and go on Instagram live. Especially he's like, I've never done it. So it's not like it was the very last thing that happened.
Right.
And then he just like, sometimes you call the same person twice or whatever. Like, that's not the case.
No.
You gotta hit like five buttons.
I would look into her.
Interesting.
Going live with it. Going on Instagram Live is a three-step process.
At least.
Right? It's like a two-factor authentication. You don't just drop the phone and it goes on.
Two-factor. No, it is. I did it earlier. Like I think I
send us the
four
code.
Or five
we just
clicks.
Texted you.
Yeah. It's not good.
What's in the
grab bag? Shohei Ohtani 50-50 watch remains on. He's still at 46-47. 46 home runs, 47 steals.
Yeah. Yesterday, not a lot of time for him to get there.
No.
I don't know why I said that. He's definitely going to get there.
He's going
to
get there.
Well, if he was on Devers' pace, games. It would not be a lot of time to get there.
Sure.
On his pace.
That's a good point.
I have a question. Does this mean, so he's having his best year, he's having a historic year, not pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Would this push you, if you were the Dodgers, toward not pitching him?
No,
definitely
me
not.
Me either.
You're paying him $70 million.
If he is 50-50 every year, that might be worth $70
million. Yeah, but even when he was a hitter, he was like 40-20 or
whatever. It does show you all the idiot teams that were like, we can't pay him to just hit for one year.
So dumb.
You stupid idiots. $700 million just to go 50-50 is so worth it. Never mind the pitching in the future. Yeah.
And they're good.
I especially mean, since you don't have to pay it now.
Right.
Well,
that's
layaway.
True that's true, too.
You're not paying anything.
The hills fill my heart with the sound of me.
Grab bag.
Bill Belichick.
How do you love every one of these? They all end the same way.
You've heard them all. He has them.
I like that. Maybe. I like that he just really mailed that in. I thought he was going to sing that one.
No, some of them, you never know.
Just undersold it.
Yep. That's a good job.
The best one is your daughter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she has a couple on here, I think, right?
That's my favorite.
Kids love Grab Bag.
Nope, that's not her.
That's not it. No, we hate that one.
Nope, that's not it.
Nope.
I'll get it, honey. Must be Grab Bag.
No, that's not
That's a young CC Keys right there.
No, that's like a Super Bowl commercial. Put a kid in it, and I like it. I'm laughing.
Pretty good. No. Bill Belichick has a hidden skill, one that somehow, some way, I don't think we ever unearthed, right, Jones? This is not something we've ever talked about.
Is it Shannon Sharpe's hidden skill?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Similar.
Ramp, get it in.
We've seen the ring cam video. I don't think that's hidden.
No, Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi, who saved a life, by the way,
fresh
in Nashville.
Off of saving a life.
Yeah. American hero, John Bon Jovi.
That's right.
He says, few people know that Bill is a closet drummer. I don't know why he's a closet drummer, but Bill is apparently
that sounds like a euphemism.
drummer.
Kind of does.
Don't bing that on a work computer.
I'm going to go in the closet now.
But apparently,
drum away.
Apparently, Bill is a drummer. I don't know how we went all these years not knowing this, but apparently Bill's a skilled drummer.
I could see that. Prep could school you? Type kid.
Yeah. Like Max Weinberg.
Yeah. Followed Bon Jovi all over Europe or whatever that one summer 35 years ago.
Yeah, so do you believe Bon Jovi?
Do I think he's good?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, no.
I think he probably has a set of drums that he bangs on. I don't know if they're good.
Yeah.
What are you jeezing over there?
Grab bag.
Pac-12 currently sitting at two teams, the Pac-2. Right now.
But soon they're going to be the sixth.
They just added four teams to the Pac-12. Boise State, Colorado State,
boo.
San Diego State, Fresno State, which I hate. They are gutting the Mountain West, one of the great conferences in all of college football.
Oh,
college basketball. I love the Mountain West.
Everybody
says
it. Yeah.
They're gutting. These are four of the better teams in the Mountain West. But still only six teams. So I don't know what
they're still going.
Plan's going to be.
Still looking. Maybe Tufts has got a shot. Or one of these East Coast NESCAC schools.
You can be
schools.
Anywhere. Clearly,
right.
Based on the ACC and the SEC and everything else.
You don't like Colorado State moving into the Pac-12?
Yeah, Colorado State, anywhere they go, I'm not going to like it. So, boo Pac-12.
He's wearing his Colorado hat today, huh?
Right. Big game this weekend.
Wear it now while you can.
Yeah. It's probably a make-or-break.
It's not quite embarrassing yet. Weekend.
If Dion loses this game, does he last the season?
Oh, man, I don't know.
He might just quit. He's not going to get fired, but he might just...
Stephen A. says he's got to go to a new SEC team right away. So
what?
Yeah, that's what he said.
There's no chance. Florida State might
Stephen
take
A. Smith said.
But,
It would be somebody that just purely wants the
Florida
attention.
State. And if they keep nosediving...
He stinks as a coach.
Yeah, but he can recruit his pants off.
Yeah. Kenny?
Yeah.
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
He's got
Travis
Hunter's
pretty
players.
Good.
He can't seem to recruit an offensive line. He that's spent the true. Whole year flipping the line over, and the line looks crappy again.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
And he already lost one of his kids.
Grab bag.
He made that sound like a paternity suit.
What? Yeah, he lost his kid.
He didn't lose his kids.
He broke his heart. He knows exactly where he is.
It feels
Child
like
services came to his house.
One of the three players he actually cares about on the team is hurt. So now he's down to two players he cares about. What if they get hurt? Then he's like, I really have no interest here anymore.
You think Shadur's going to be good in the NFL?
No.
Yeah, no
I
way.
I don't. I think
I
he is going to be a documentary in 5 years.
Yeah.
And it won't be a good one. It's not going to be
Johnny
called
Manziel
like
one.
Goat or something. Yeah.
The best part of the Johnny Manziel one was the ending of it. You're like, is there like a good ending? You're like, no.
Nope.
He's just kind of like this now.
Nah, he's just,
he's just
sitting around.
Not playing football.
Vaping.
Yeah. Did he clean his life up?
Yeah.
Not really.
Nah,
no.
Really
it
didn't.
Might be a part two in 10 years. Who
Maybe.
Knows?
Maybe. It could be a real sad story later on, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just saying.
Dragging us down.
Not. Well, coming up next, it's WEI Afternoon.
We'll give you a lift.
Yeah, what's coming up? Curran's coming up.
Yes, yeah, Tommy Curran today, 3:30. We're going to talk a lot of Red Sox today, as we spoke with Alex Cora yesterday, and he gave us some insight into the future and what that may look like for some of these young players.
Yep.
And we also have some Celtics and Bruins thoughts to get to today as well.
How about that?
Running the gamut.
Well, you really never know where it's going to go. You guys have done radio with me.
That's true.
You go off the rails.
That's
all bets
true.
Are off.
You know,
it's not always great.
No point in doing a rundown.
If you want to,
it's true.
If you want to get into the the Unc Shannon Sharp story.
Yep.
Yeah, we might delve.
We
into
did
that.
Yesterday with a bunch of kids waiting outside to go into the game.
Hey guys,
the speaker.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Talking about the sex tape, it was a little tough. Like the dad kept looking at us, like, "Come on, guys,
clean it up. Move on." It's like, actually, we have like 30
Sports,
more minutes.
You're at Fenway. The Sox play tonight. Maybe talk about that.
Yeah, nah. Unk. So there you go. It's WEI Afternoons. Stay tuned for Hart and Arkham. We'll talk to you tomorrow. A lot on the program tomorrow, Keith. Alex Van Pelt. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
TBD, that's our Patriots player. TBD tomorrow. Also TBD, Lou Merlone tomorrow.
Definitely TBD.
So we'll get to all of that tomorrow at 10 o'clock. You're on WEEI.